This is an MUT Radio podcast.
Today is Wednesday, and you know, Guti, on Wednesdays, Siba Nomlambo at tennis, an association, they are back in Amhlanje to speak with us. With our producer, Othembela Madikizela. In fact, let me start with Othembela. Othembela, welcome back. Thank you so much for once again joining us on EMUT Radio.
Good morning, Awetu, and your team, and to all the listeners. And thank you so much for having us. And we're really excited to share our first topic in the spirit of love, because we are celebrating all things love this month.
Love comes with problems sometimes, hey?
Sometimes, hey?
Definitely. And you'll see in this first topic how many problems it comes with.
Yes, definitely, Othembela. No, good morning also to Mr. Vusi Ramalekana, who is from Umlambo and Associate. Good morning, Mr. Vusi.
Good morning, Mr. Awetu. How are you doing?
Good, good. Thanks. How are you?
I'm all right as well. I'm all right as well, man. As is the spirit of love, I mean, you cannot be feeling any other way than good.
Mr. Vusi Ramalekana. Today we are unpacking an important Constitution Court judgment on customary marriage, which is very popular in South Africa, and a property right. So if you can just tell us, Mr. Vusi, what case are we actually discussing today?
All right. Once again, thank you for having me. So today we are discussing the VVC versus JRM and others. It's a 2026 matter heard in the Constitutional Court. So this case clarifies how customary marriages interact with civil marriages. It also addresses whether spouses may change matrimonial property system without the court oversight.
Yes. So briefly, what were the facts of this case, Mr. Vusi?
All right. So on this particular case, right, so the parties concluded a customary marriage in the year 2011. So in terms of Section 7, Subsection 2 of the Recognition of Customary Marriages Act, such a marriage is in community of property by default, unless it is excluded by an antenuptial contract. So years later, they signed what they call an antenuptial contract. And in 2021, they then concluded a civil marriage without dividing the joint estate created by that marriage they concluded in 2011. And thereafter, after the civil marriage, the divorce proceedings followed.
About uthando. Now the divorce came, and after a divorce, obviously we know, Guti, there will be a lot of legal conflicts. Maybe tell us more about those. What were the legal conflicts that arose at the time?
So subsequent to the divorce proceedings being instituted, there was now the conflict of whether the antenuptial contract that was signed after the customary marriage was valid, right? The conflict was whether Section 10, Subsection 2 of the Recognition of Customary Marriages Act allows spouses to change their property regime without judicial oversight, and also whether that would violate Sections 9 and 25 of the Constitution. Section 9 speaks of equality, and Section 25 speaks on the arbitrary deprivation of property.
And what does Section 10, Subsection 2 say exactly?
All right. Section 10, Subsection 2 basically says when a marriage is concluded as contemplated in Subsection 1, the marriage is in community of property and of profit and loss unless such consequences are specifically excluded in an antenuptial contract which regulates the matrimonial property system of the marriage. So the debate essentially was how to interpret this provision.
And what does Section 21 require, Mr. Ramakale?
Okay, so in terms of Section 21, specifically subsection 1, it states that a husband and a wife may jointly apply to a court for leave to change the matrimonial property system of their marriage. And in terms of this section, the court must be satisfied that, firstly, there are sound reasons for the proposed change. Secondly, sufficient notice has been given to creditors. And lastly, no other person will be prejudiced by the proposed change. Judicial oversight is therefore mandatory in terms of this section.
Okay, and what did the High Court then decide on that particular case that we are talking about?
All right, so when this matter went to the High Court, the decision that the High Court eventually arrived at was that the antenuptial contract was effectively a postnuptial contract. It found that Section 10, Subsection 2, of the RCMA was actually unconstitutional. And it further held that the provision allowed arbitrary provision of property under Section 25. And it also found that it amounted to unfair discrimination under Section 9, which is the Equality Clause in the Constitution.
So it further went on to the Constitutional Court. How did then the Constitutional Court approach this matter?
So the Constitutional Court had to interpret the Recognition Act or the RCMA holistically. What the court did is it emphasized that Section 10 of the RCMA regulates a change of marriage system, but not a change of the property regime. So it rejected the idea that Section 10 creates a loophole to bypass Section 21, which was contrary to what the High Court held.
Earlier on, we spoke with they were married in customary marriage, but later went on to a civil marriage. Now, did the civil marriage terminate the customary marriage?
A short answer is no, right? So the Constitutional Court held that there is no dual marriage, essentially meaning that there's no two marriages occurring at the same time. So the legal system changes, but the marriage relationship continues. Basically, the civil marriage subsumes the customary marriage. But so this results in the patrimonial consequences remaining intact and not changing at all.
Very interesting. And what happens now to the joint estate that this couple had established?
Okay, so flowing from my last point, the joint estate created under customary law essentially continues. It cannot be undone by signing an agreement after the marriage, right? So only a Section 21 court application can change the regime lawfully. Otherwise, it cannot be changed.
So was there any antenuptial contract? Was the antenuptial contract valid?
The answer is no, right? So an antenuptial contract must be concluded before marriage, right? So the ante in the antenuptial means before the marriage. So here the parties were already married under customary law. Therefore, the contract they entered into was a post-nuptial contract because it was entered into after the customary marriage had been concluded, and therefore it was invalid without the court approval.
So how now, Vusi, did the Constitutional Court then confirm the invalidity of the antenuptial contract?
Okay, so the Constitutional Court held that the Constitutional Court did not confirm the invalidity, right? The court held that Section 10, Subsection 2 of the RCMA, properly interpreted, is actually constitutional. as opposed to what the High Court held. So the High Court's declaration of invalidity, therefore, was not confirmed.
Now, Vusi, why is equality important here, especially in particular in this case?
Good question. So, you see, the RCMA, right, was enacted to correct historical discrimination in South Africa. Its aim was to protect vulnerable spouses, particularly women, in customary marriages, right? So allowing informal property changes would undermine that protection.
Mm. And what is the important clarification?
So the clarification here is that Section 10 of the RCMA does not automatically alter or change the matrimonial property system. Judicial oversight remains the only lawful method to change regimes as envisaged under Section 21 of the Matrimonial Property Act. So there is no shortcut, essentially.
Definitely. Now I know a lot of people are still seeking to go to get married. Actually, a producer we hang out here on Nomfundo Wakasibisi, who is in studio right now, was actually very interested in this topic. She's very interested in, you know, looking into a civil marriage at some point. Maybe what advice would you give to people like Nomfundo?
Okay, the advice that I would give is, it's threefold, right? So firstly, before you change your matrimonial property system, seek legal advice, right? Don't go without consulting legal experts in the matter. Secondly, I'd say follow the Section 21 process. And lastly, ensure that there is proper court approval and registration.
I hope you're sorted then, Nomfundo, right? Great, ne? Okay. No, really appreciated. I'm seeing a hand there from Otembela. Maybe if you can just come in also, Otembela.
Yes, so the advice that Vusi gave was absolutely correct. And I've been seeing since the judgment has been handed down, there are a lot of misconceptions about how to interpret this case. So basically, the one big misconception that I've been seeing and that's been worrying me is that people think somehow that marriages, customary marriages, are automatically out of community property. And that is definitely not true. I don't know where people are getting this, but it's very dangerous to think that way. So if you are planning on engaging in lobola or customary marriage, right, before you enter into lobola negotiations, please make sure that if you intend to not be married in community or property, sign an antenuptial contract before these proceedings are even happening. Right, because lobola or customary marriages, you need to negotiate, celebrate, and be at the age of consent, which is 18. So make sure that you sign an antenuptial contract beforehand so that you don't find yourself married in community or property and you did not intend to do so. Because as we've seen from this case, once you are in a community or property, you cannot just sign an antenuptial contract after and hope that it will remedy your situation.
Wow. No, thank you so much there, Otembela. Nomfundo?
Good morning. I do have a question. So let's say you go and you guys do lobolas without like assigning the antenuptial. And then when now you're getting like a white wedding and then now you sign it, does it change anything from the beginning or it literally doesn't matter?
Sorry, please repeat your question.
I was asking that. Let's say I do get lobolaed, but like I do not sign an antenuptial contract, and then we're doing a white wedding, then we now sign. Does that change our whole marriage, or it doesn't really matter because we just need to go through court now and figure out how to sign an anti-nuptial contract?
So I can just answer this and then I'll give the rest to Vusi. So once you are being lobola'd, you need to ask yourself, first of all, in what marriage property regime are you intending on entering into? Are you intending on being married in a community of property or out of community of property? This is even before you get lobola'd. So you need to ask yourself that question. And let's say that you intend on being married out of community or property, right? So then your first step is that you need to sign an anti-nuptial contract prior to these negotiations even begin, right? Because if you don't and the customary marriage is concluded, and I won't say lobola because lobola itself and lobola being finalized or completed doesn't itself mean that you married in customary marriages. There are other steps in customary marriage that say, okay, now you're married in customary marriage. It's not lobola only, right? And like I said, it needs to be negotiated, celebrated. Lobola does, even the Customary Marriages Act doesn't say whether or not lobola needs to be completed. It's just part of the process. So you completing the lobola process, you negotiate and you celebrate, and now you want to have a white wedding. Now only you want to sign the antenuptial contract. You're now married in customary marriage, which is by default in community or property. So you can't then sign it at the white wedding.
Okay, thank you so much.
Okay, just to come in there, Othembela, you said lobola doesn't constitute to marriage. I don't know if you've seen this. There's something that's been trending in the past few weeks where they were speaking about lobola being regarded as part of marriage. Has that been changed, or it's still the case ukuthi lobola ngempela does not constitute to umshado?
The thing is, in certain cultures, lobola is done in certain ways, right? Lobola itself, the act of paying a dowry, right? So for a customary marriage to have taken place, there are other things that must have taken place. You need to be at the age of consent. The lobola or the customary marriage, let's say, needs to be negotiated and celebrated, as in handing over the bride or however it is done according to...
This is an MUT Radio podcast.